After his death, the Dalai Lama looks down on a yoga class. Perhaps because of the altitude, since dying, he cannot sleep. So all night he watches planet Earth, limping round the orbit like a disheveled bride, ozone clinging like an ill-fitted wig, dragging its bumpy train of Chinese plastics, the refugees pushed up like rice to the sides of borders, the swarms, the migrations pulsing north, the bodies floating in flood after flood, the hissing and praying, humming and tingling as minuscule embers of the internet glow. In America, millions of dilated pupils absorb Kardashians, as Mexican children huddle in an ice cage. Across the country, crops are burning, humans are snapping like little tyrants. Television squawk their bright lights, hawking shiny arguments. In suburbs, pale teenage boys float like moons in the blue fluid of their screens. It was enough to make him turn away, to tinker with another broken watch, until he heard the sound of Om, belted out at first like a bomb, bulbous and confident, then finally more humble, becoming a whisper, wafer thin. All across America, yogis were rising and folding, sun salutating and diving, each woman's body punctual and alluring, like the necks of black swans, except for the dreadlocks poking like tarantulas from their crowns. That yoga had morphed as it moved west, he did not mind, that it was nothing like India, where the stern yogi barks out asanas as if bored, no props, no blocks, no choices, no options, no accommodations for special feelings, for unique practices. Thanks to skillful means, the Dharma had gained footing through the guise of Lululemon, a spiritual materialism held in place by capitalist claws that sharpen on the soft backs of others. But this would change in time. Still, they had a ways to go, their moans and sighs so long and overdrawn, so self-indulgent, poses birthing long, laborious vowels, announcing the depths of their stress. The countless choices of poses given, riddled with "you decide, it's up to you." Their warrior pose a bit too righteous, their namastes, cute curtsies denying the rapes of cultural appropriation. Ujjayi breathing more like steamboats than the vastness of ocean. Shavasanas like limp islands, each psyche shipwrecked by its own uniqueness. Yes, yes, he nodded, a mantra slipping through his breath, a harmless habit of his, a Buddhist Tourette's. They had yet to embody the yoke of yoga, their senses still reporting, a solid body in time and space, instead of the magic of northern lights, flowing organisms steered by millions of years of intelligence devoted to constant change. He chuckled again with delight. In 1 year, 98% of their atoms would exchange for new ones, exhaling not stress, not rage, but the universe. Hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, that just an instant before was locked in solid matter, their stomach, liver, heart, lungs, and brain vanishing into thin air. He could go on and on with his concatenations. Instead, he adjusted his seat, straightened his spine, worked his prayer beads, reminding himself to be patient, to watch his thoughts rise and fall like meteorites across his mind, fireballs aglow with a feisty energy that eventually fizzled and withered. And when they did, quietly, gently, he returned to his breath and once more released the universe from its cage.